Grace and peace in the name of Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem. Amen. Pray with me as we consider the word of God further tonight. Lord, your word is a lamp for our feet. It is a great light for our path. Shine the light of the gospel of Jesus upon us. Give us the Holy Spirit that we believe, that we trust in Jesus and ever desire to follow him all our days. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, six down, three to go. If you notice, we've already sang six hymns in our worship service. You guys aren't singing really loud. Maybe we should repeat all six, I think, tonight. Well, we can sing a little louder than that. Up here, I can sing it, hear myself, but not you guys. Let's sing. Three to go. Are we tired? Are we worn out, exhausted? No, we could hopefully sing nine more hymns and then nine more and sing all night to our God for the gift of his son, Jesus. Sing. For many of us, our favorite Christmas hymn would probably be Silent Night. After 26 years of ministry now, a lot of people really like Silent Night. And in just a little bit here, we're going to turn off the lights and hold a candle. The light of the world, who's personal. My Jesus, who loves me, was born for me, died for me, rose again for me. And then we'll sing Silent Night. It's a soft hymn. Focus on the words, a beautiful hymn. But my question tonight is it true? Was Christmas Eve really a silent night? Is tonight really a silent night? As I read the Christmas gospel, that wasn't a silent night. That's a noisy, hectic, chaotic night. You have Bethlehem with lots of people. They're there because of the decree of Caesar Augustus, complaining, grumbling about taxes and all that we grumble about the government. Busy place. And then the stable or the cave where Joseph and Mary went, that had to be kind of busy, animals around. They're scurrying around. Where are we going to put baby Jesus? Could have been really silent, too peaceful. And you have the angels, a multitude, saying what? Glory to God in the highest. That's not really silent. The shepherds go worship. Then the shepherds go around the whole town and area telling the good news of Jesus. That's not real silent. Doesn't seem like a really silent night. But don't worry. We're going to sing the hymn tonight, and I'm not going to change the words. Because, in a sense, as I'm going to talk about tonight for a few minutes, it really was a silent night. When God comes, and that's Christmas, God has come. God's come as a baby, as a human being, one of us to deliver us. And when God comes, God brings silence. He would first of all silence our might. He would silence our fight. And he would silence our fright. And when God silences these things, it is a silent night. Maybe not out there, but in here. There's quietness. And there's peace. After all, the angel said, peace on earth. And all is okay. I'm not anxious and worried and fearful. All is okay because my God has come. First of all, when God comes, when the Lord comes, he silences our might. What do I mean? I mean he would silence our pride. Our big ego, our bragging, our boasting, which we love to do in our own way. I can do it. I can take care of myself. I'm in control. I'm okay. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. I'm educated enough. I'm strong enough. I can save myself. I'm okay, God. Just come around every once in a while when I need you. Pride, ego, self-righteousness of mankind. And the three titles that the angel gives to Jesus, the three great titles of Christmas. For unto you is born this day a what? A Savior. That means we're in trouble and we need saving and we can't save ourselves. It would teach us to be humble. Then the next term is Christ. That means King. We need a King. I can't take care of myself. I can't rule my own life. I need a King to take care of me. Humility is teaching us. And then the Lord. God himself is this baby. This tells us the trouble's really, really big. I'm really in trouble because the Lord himself is the only one who can save me from it. And we all know the real trouble is sin. And it is the devil. And it is death. And it's evil all around us. We can't really do anything about this, can we? Especially the sin that lies in our own hearts. The Lord, you see, he comes in poverty to teach us to be poor in spirit. To say we're sorry. Confess, God, I am a sinner. That's a Christian. He comes in humility to teach us to be humble. He comes lying in a manger to teach us to crawl on our knees before him. You want to get close to Jesus, get on your knees and be humble. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes to remind us that even our good works are filthy rags in God's sight. And that one day we're all going to be wrapped up in death in a coffin or cremated. And what then, friend? How strong are you then? When I was a kid, about third or fourth grade, I loved to make models. You know, model cars and model boats. And I'd snap them together, glue them together. Look what I did. Look what I accomplished. And so for Christmas, around that time, third, fourth grade, my dad bought me a big V8 engine model. This thing was big, a V8 engine. It would be clear plastic. You could see the pistons going up and down. And I opened the instructions of this, and I read the instructions, and I read the instructions, and I read the instructions. They were like a million pages, and I couldn't even find the first two parts to even put together. The thing was so complicated. It was going to be electric, too, and the piston was going to move if I plugged it in. And I tried to work on this thing and read it for about 2 days. And then what? Where's the sledgehammer to break my V8 model? Just give me a football and let me throw the football with my brothers. I can't do it. I can't figure it out. I can't make it run. And so my dear father comes and says, let me help. And my dear dad can help. You need to confess, I can't figure it out. Maybe not an engine, but more importantly, I can't figure out life. I can't save myself. I'm not strong enough. I can't take away any sins. I can't overcome my own death. I can't take away the condemnation of God that I deserve, which is hell. Oh, Father, help me. And the Father says, oh, I have helped you. Look in a manger. His name is Jesus. Secondly, our God would silence our fight. He comes to put an end to our war, our battle against sin, because he forgives sins. He doesn't count our sins against us. Yes, we still battle every day, but it's forgiven, washed, cleansed, taken away by the blood of Christ who would die for us. He puts away the fight we have against death, our fear of death, because death is defeated. He rose again on Easter. It's the open door to paradise. Why worry about death and fear death? I'm going to go to heaven. Our battle against the devil and demons and evil. The Christmas Eve, we could say it is the beginning. On Good Friday, Jesus says, it is finished. I've done the job. I've conquered sin, death, the devil, and hell for you. I've won the war. I've won the battle for you. So be at peace. Stop fighting. Stop being a war. Be at peace. We have peace with God. He's reconciled to us. Peace with each other. One of the great highlights of the Christmas gospel is when the multitude of angels come. You have the one angel speaking, then you have a whole heavenly host, a multitude. Picture thousands and millions of angels filling the sky. And literally, as I said in Bible class, it's a heavenly army. They're an army of angels. They're going to go to war. And the shepherds must have thought, what's going to go on here? We have a great cosmic battle of angels and demons. God and the devil's going to happen right here in the sky. What a battle. What a fight. It's going to happen. The angels are here. The army's here. And what do the angels do? This army. They sing. An army that sings. How can it be? Because the warrior, the soldier, lies in a manger. He's the one that will fight. Angels can't take away sin. They can't conquer death. They can't conquer the devil. This one can, the baby, the Son of God himself, the Lord, the Christ, the Savior. He's the one soldier we need, the one warrior. And he conquers it, and they can already speak as if it's happened. Even though he lies there, he hasn't done really anything yet. Already there's victory, there's peace. Ah, glory to God in the highest. Come on. Glory to God in the highest. Yes. Are you glad tonight you're not Miss Columbia? If you didn't see, been on the news, they had a Miss Universe contest, and Miss Columbia was crowned Miss Universe. Crown put on her head, confetti coming down, big smile and tears from Miss Columbia, beautiful young lady, going to walk down the aisle. And then you know what happened. Sorry, oops, you really didn't win. It was really Miss Philippines. So they have to take the crown off her head, put it on Miss Philippines' head, and she gets to do the little walk. You may not have 2 minutes of glory, 2 minutes of wearing the crown. Is that the Christian? Have I won or not? Am I God's child or not? Am I forgiven or not? Is it back and forth? Today maybe, tomorrow not? I have the crown today, but not later. God's going to take it away. What's it like? God has come. We are God's children through baptism, period. God's not going to take it away. We wear the crown of life even now, period. God's not going to take it away. Our names are written in heaven now, baptized, period. God's not going to take it away. We are forgiven of our sins, all of them, period. God's not going to take it away. We have eternal life in heaven because of Jesus, period. God's not going to take it away. Only one person can do that, and that's you. You can take the crown off. You can walk away from Jesus. I don't want it. I don't need it. By Jesus. Take care of myself. Who would do such a thing and be such a fool? And then the Lord silences our fright, our fears, worries, anxieties. The first words of the angel, fear not. Don't be afraid. First words. The shepherds are terrified. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of God. Don't be afraid of God's glory. Again, you're forgiven. God's on your side. God loves you. God's your rock, your refuge. Don't be afraid now. God is with you. Emmanuel. Nothing to be afraid of. God's taking care of everything. Don't be afraid. What are you afraid of? Don't be afraid of God. He forgives you. Don't be afraid of your sickness, your disease, your pain, your loss, your grief. God's with you. And God truly, truly loves you. God's your rock and your refuge. He will never leave your side. Never leave you or forsake you. And that's Christmas. God showed in the Old Testament a variety of ways to show people don't be afraid. For Adam and Eve, they were guilty and afraid. God gave them the promise of a Savior. And God put clothing on them that were naked and in shame. Don't be afraid, Adam and Eve. I'm here. And then Noah, God put the rainbow in the sky for Noah. Don't be afraid, Noah. I'm never going to get us in a flood. Don't be afraid. Abraham, who was afraid. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, the sand of the seashore. Don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm here. I'm going to keep my promise. And you have Jacob. He puts a ladder in the sky. Don't be afraid, Jacob. You're a liar, a deceiver, a wretch, but you have heaven. The ladder to heaven is Christ. You're going to be there. Don't be afraid. Moses, the burning bush. Don't be afraid, Moses. I'm here. I'm not going to fry you or burn you up. I'm right here. The people of Israel in the desert. Don't be afraid. Here's the manna, the water. I'll take care of you if only you'd believe. But the great climax of all this is no longer ladders, no longer burning bushes, no longer dreams. No longer stars and sand. God himself comes in a manger. God himself comes in a manger. God himself comes in human flesh to say, don't be afraid. I am right here. And I bear it all for you. When I was a little boy, mom and dad took me to the mall to sit on Santa's lap. And I wasn't the brightest bulb in school. But even as a little boy, I could tell it was a fake Santa. And I need to tell my mom, this is a fake Santa. He's not real. He's fake. Had to know that. Where there was no reindeer, no Rudolph with the red nose. And here's the real clue. There was no black bag. If he's going to give me what I want, where's his big black bag that's going to have my toys in it? There's no black bag that I see. He's a fake Santa. He's not going to deliver. Ha, 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 my dad would say. Silly. Here's something not so silly. We don't have a fake Savior. We don't have a fake God who promises everything but can't deliver. Our God doesn't have a big black bag, but our God has the Bible that we can preach from and learn and read. So do it. Our God's given us baptism. We're washed and cleansed. The renewal of baptism, confession, absolution, and church. And God gives us the body and blood of Christ. Here's the gifts of God in the church. The Bible, baptism, confession, absolution, communion is our manger, the body and blood. These are the continuing gifts from God's bag, if you will. He delivers every Wednesday and every Sunday. So come. First Christmas Eve was anything but silent. Out there, chaotic and noisy. But oh, in Mary's heart, Joseph's heart, the shepherds, there was silence in here. May God silence our might and keep us humble. God, silence the fight and give me peace. And God, silence my fright and give me faith. May we all have a wonderful, silent night, tonight and every night. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God which transcends human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's sing.